I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Glamour. Hey, it's okay. And it really is going to be okay. I'm your host. I'm Glamour's editor-in-chief, Joe Elvin. We're going to be diving deep and long and hard into some of the most important issues of the day today, which is actually a massive lie, but you know us. We'll still have fun anyway. Let's go. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Glamour. It's okay. It must be Glamour. Hey, it's okay. I'm joined today by two of my favorite people in the whole world.
She says that every week,
yeah,
by the way.
That's not true. This time I mean it. Today we have the now newly labeled Pod Cupboard stud, James Williams. Glamour's James Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, hello. Hi. I'm going red now.
Yeah, but you're loving it every second of it. All those gym sessions. Finally paying off.
Finally.
Yes. We're probably going to need a little pod cam, aren't we?
Oh, God, no. We like being aural.
I think we need to put the sexy, hunky voice to a visual.
No.
Get it out there. Come on.
Especially with that blush, it's really working for you.
It is. More so than for you or me. Miss Daisy Lowe in the house. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for being here. And a special mention to Monty.
Monty's here too.
Looking like he wants to be introduced. What breed is he?
Monty's a little Maltese terrier.
You are just so beautiful,
he's
Monty.
Very, very cute.
Yeah. He's ridiculous.
And he's 9. He looks like a puppy. I love him. He's so sweet.
My Bella looks like a puppy and she's an old lady. But don't tell Bella that I think Monty's really cute.
I won't. I promise. Yeah.
Don't cheat on your dog with Monty.
You can't have that getting around the dog community. I do think they go to the park and talk about us all.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
My friend of mine babysat Bella and she had Bella in the room with her when she was having a bath, and I said, I think that dog goes to the park and talks about our boobs to everybody too. Don't you think?
Yeah, the terrible gossips dog, surely.
Yeah, yeah, worse than cats.
Yeah, what do you,
because they get out more.
He's like give me a microphone, give me a set of headphones. He wants to get involved, I think. Daisy,
he's looking all innocent, but if this dog could talk, the celebrity gossip, the strictly gossip.
and suddenly Daisy's blushing. There's a theme running through this week.
Daisy, hello. Thanks for being here. Let's start again. Okay. Tell us what you've been up to.
So I've just gotten off of the Strictly train because it's felt like it's taken over my life for the past six months.
How long was it? 6 months?
6 months, pretty much. I mean, we started at the end of August and then the show runs until the end of December. And then I went on tour, started in January and finished mid-Feb. So got back off tour and it was the most extraordinary thing I've ever made myself do.
This is why you're looking amazing with Buns of Steel.
Can I just say, Buns 30 shows in 3 weeks, you said earlier.
Yeah, 30 shows
in
3 weeks.
Did you not see that shirt and just go, oh, you are taking the piss?
I mean, I just didn't ever think for a million years that I would be able to perform like that. I mean, I think we got to Birmingham, and which was our first stop, and we did 6 dress runs, and I pretty much messed up every single one. And then it got to just before the real life show, and I don't think I've cried like that since I was an actual baby. I was like, what am I, why did I let myself do this?
But it's grueling.
Oh yeah. And I just thought, I've never performed before in my life like this, why would I then go and choose to do it for the first time in front of 9,000 people? You know, who really...
But in a way, that's small fry compared to the 15 million that were watching you every week on TV.
Yes.
But I guess it's more physically...
But it's physically there.
Yeah.
And I think when you're doing this show, there's 700 people that can watch you in the studio, but... You know, going to then, I think the biggest audience we had was 13,000.
But do you then just zone out? Do you just literally, what do you do to sort of combat those kind of nerves?
I think, well, you've got no other option but actually just going out and doing it.
Do they just like push you out with a poker?
Pretty much.
Sometimes on the show it does look like they've just, someone's having a breakdown and they just push
there
them down
you
the
go.
Stairs. Tits and teeth, tits and teeth.
And just, and just really hope that it's one of your good ones. Yeah. And my wonderful dance partner, Ali Ash, just turned around on the actual first
Ali
show.
Ash.
I know, I was very
awful
lucky.
Awful to look at, though. I mean, what
horrible to come to work to every day.
Ali Ash. Oh, my word. Haven't felt like that since Artem.
And Artem, so 5 years ago. It's all about you.
It's all about Ali Ash. Yeah. But he's also just a really gorgeous human being. It's really from the inside out. But he just, after we came off and did the first show, he looked at me and said, well, you've really got good timing because you finally got it all right for the live show. I was like,
yay. But what was it really difficult, different depending on which city you're in? Did you really notice a difference in the audience, the vibes?
You definitely feel everyone's energy. And so up north, everyone gives you everything and goes absolutely wild. The most fun was always on a Friday night and a Saturday night because everyone gets really pissed.
The bar was busy.
Everyone gets, you know, everyone's kind of heckling it. No, everyone's...
Did you ever do it drunk, Daisy?
No, I did it very hungover, though. I mean, learning how to salsa dance that hungover was really extraordinary.
Was there like a rock and roll element to being on tour? Were you like...
Also, dancers are wild. I mean... I thought that I'd experienced a lot being in the fashion industry and hanging out with musicians and actors is nothing compared to dancers.
Really?
But as Leslie Joseph says, what happens on tour stays on tour.
Very wise.
Well, that's highly disappointing.
I know.
But I always imagine that they're quite disciplined.
Well, you'd think, because they're so ripped, aren't they, and so healthy.
Yeah, no.
It's all an illusion.
I mean, my blood type now is, it's only just coming back from tequila positive.
Wow. God, I'd be dead if I'd been on that tour.
It's the power of a spray tan. A spray tan clearly masks 1,000 sins, and they clearly have a lot of sins.
And what is the thing that you're most proud that you couldn't do that now you could after that whole Strictly experience?
Drink.
I've got a really strong constitution. I think it was actually just going out and performing. And I think before, you know, I've been a model for 13 years now, and you can always hide behind the camera. You're just in one room with, you know, a handful of people, and you can 100. I always played characters to kind of get in the mood for whatever we were shooting. But then going on to Strictly, it was completely about myself and my self-confidence, and actually you can't hide. You have to. And it took until the week I was actually kicked out for my salsa, it took until that week for Ali Ash to just say, look, you are actually really good at this, you really just need to believe in yourself. And it was almost like I finally learned the lesson and got yanked out of the show.
Brutal.
But it was an amazing lesson, because it then meant, you know, I went and did a fashion show I walked in Katie Erie's show for Men's Fashion Week, and usually whenever I've done fashion shows I always get really nervous, and for the first time ever I just thought, well, no, I'm just putting one foot in front of the other. I don't have to remember 3,000 steps. I can just walk and strut and feel powerful as well. And it taught me so much.
I don't know how anyone... Do you remember... James is going to hate me for bringing this up. Do you remember our strutting class?
Oh, my God. I still get nightmares about that.
I mean, and I'm not... You know, neither James or I are shy. But Joris was there as well, who's producing for us today. Yeah. None of us are shy people. We've all got big jobs and we're like forever on stage at this and that or other. Being in this room and being made to strut and pretend
it was a
Beyonce,
dance like Beyonce class, by the way, just to give you some context.
Okay.
We weren't just strutting around. But
I mean, but I would have thought that you would have been really good at that.
I could not believe the self-consciousness that just swallowed me whole.
But then don't you feel like you go back into being at school and being the last one to be chosen for the team almost?
It very
I don't
much
know
felt
what you're talking
like
about. That was never me. Never.
It's always me.
Yeah. I can't relate to that experience at all.
But Daisy, I wanted to ask you, because obviously the thing about Strictly is as well, is in terms of the audience, it's such a like diverse, you know, everyone from like, you know, 5-year-old kids up to like octogenarians mm-hmm. watch that show. Have you noticed that in terms of your visibility when you go out and about now, you're recognised by a whole new demographic of people?
Like, it is different. It's definitely different. And I got chased down the road by a 7-year-old yesterday who was adorable, and she said, "I cried when you were eliminated." I was like, "I'm so sorry." And yeah, 100%. I mean, I took the tube in today, and there's lots more whispers that happen around me now that definitely didn't happen before.
And are you, "Oh, there's that girl from Strictly"? Yeah.
Don't you miss being 7 when it was fine to chase people down the street? Now if you do it, it's not so acceptable.
Joe, we've talked about that. It's a bit creepy. You need to stop it.
But I also think everyone who loves the show, whenever they come over, I always think it's really important to ask if they dance, because actually the best gift that Strictly gave me was making sure that I did dance every day. And I had no idea how. I think with modelling, you're constantly scrutinised for your body. And it was such a gift using my body and feeling proud of it, of what it could do. And I think especially for young people in this day and age with so much social media and everything that's going on, you're constantly bombarded with, "Am I good enough?" and whatever. And actually to take yourself out of that and do something physical and then be really proud eventually of what you can do, because it certainly doesn't happen straight away.
You've really touched on something that I talk to young people about a lot, because, you know, modelling is the dream career for so many people. The big irony is that it causes so much insecurity and vulnerability. Now, you would think, people think if you're a model, you've made it, you've got the approved body, and yet you're still in that industry field.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Do you know what I mean? You still feel scrutinized, criticized in that way. And I think it can be one of the loneliest, unhappiest professions there is for them.
Well, I also think, as specifically, you know, when you start out modeling, usually you're a teenager, your body changes so much with all of your hormones. And also, I'm a big fan of food. I love eating. I promote healthy eating and happy eating and not so healthy eating.
I'm a keen baker.
Yeah. But, you know, and my body shape certainly changes often depending on how much time I have for exercise and how much I'm enjoying food at that particular time. But it's a constant struggle of trying to be kind to yourself. And what is that? And is that a mental thing? Is that a physical thing? Is that an emotional thing? You know, it's and yes, there's so many pros and cons, aren't there? There's so many highs and so many lows. But it's definitely just about being, I think, mindful of all of that, if that's what you're going, if that's your choice.
And to keep dancing, I guess.
Keep dancing, 100%. It's certainly working for you. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, also, it's awful because now I'm home. The idea of going to the gym is a real shame, because it's so much more fun to just go and dance. So everyone just dance.
Yeah, dance. It makes you happy as well.
Yes, yeah,
well, so happy. We're going to talk about the gym now in a second, so yeah.
Okay.
Are you ready, Daisy Lowe?
Oh, I'm always ready. Born ready.
We're going to sort out all our problems. Whatever we decide today becomes
gospel truth.
Well, yeah, glamour law.
Okay.
All right.
Perfect. I love glamour law.
Hey, it's okay. Is it okay to take gym selfies?
I think it's okay to take gym selfies. Yeah. I mean, I think.
Are you a fan of the practice?
I have been.
I mean, it's not like it's fine art or anything,
I think. If it's done I think there's two ways of taking a gym selfie. I think that if it's done, there's way more than one. I'm going to talk about a few.
Wow. Okay.
I didn't know this subject was so big.
So there's either, you know, I guess it sucks when people are trying really hard to just be really egocentric and show off how ridiculously great they are. And that's when it makes people feel bad.
Yeah.
I think.
And bored.
And like, oh no, I shouldn't have eaten that cake for breakfast, lunch, and
dinner. Always when you've just eaten that cake that those pictures come up as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
But then I think that they can be used to track your progress, as we were talking about earlier. I think that that's a lovely thing, so that you almost have a historical record.
Don't need to social that though, do you?
No.
I suppose not, but then I guess it can also be an inspirational thing for other people. The only gym things that I've ever really posted have been of actual moves so that other people could do them themselves. And I'm a big fan of working out at home. I don't work out so much in a gym because I like being able to be in my own space and have Monty there too.
Yeah.
Monty's not allowed in the gym.
God damn that gym. No. Yeah, I agree with you, Daisy. I think this, I sort of struggle with this one a little bit because I do get, and if you talk to a lot of trainers, they will say, you know, weighing scales in particular, things like BMI, they aren't very reliable ways of measuring your progress. Whereas they all say now you should take pictures. Personally, I can't imagine. I still, my ego is too fragile to stand naked in front of a mirror and take pictures of myself. So in a way, I kind of take my hat off to these people that can actually do it. But then
just need good lighting. That's all you need.
That is true. And Facetune.
Yeah, and some contouring, shading makeup.
But also then on the flip side, you know, there are people that I think they do it in a way that I find it quite annoying, because I kind of feel like, for me, exercise is just part of my day, part of my routine. It's like eating, it's like brushing my teeth. I don't put up a picture of me, hey, here's me breathing, here's me having lunch, here's me.
But some people do.
That is true, actually. But I kind of feel that when it's that level, you know, it's like people that basically always give you an update every time they've gone for a run on Facebook. I'm like, that's really not interesting to even you, let alone anyone else.
Not only that, I'm gonna be such a Debbie Downer on this now. But I feel like if you are constantly putting up your gym selfies, constantly putting up your sort of like how many kilometers you've run that day, like every day, sometimes several times a day, then I think there's a huge chance you've got a problem. You've got an obsessive problem, and that's not healthy for you. I you know, we're about to run a feature about fitness trackers and how they're fantastic for some people, but if you're predisposed to being too obsessed with your weight, too obsessed with the way you look, then they can actually feed into that
neurosis,
obsessive and that neuroses, exactly, in a really unhealthy way. And so I don't know. I'm going to be really honest, and I might even upset some of my friends. If I see you're forever in the gym posting a selfie or a selfie in any context, I'm slightly worried about you, I'm honest.
Because then I guess it gets into the other extreme of all of that body shaming, but the opposite, you know,
I will say, because I am guilty on my Instagram. I do follow a lot of fitness people, and I have to say, on the days when I wake up and I don't want to go and do something, if those pictures pop up in my feed, it does get me off my arse and it gets me to the gym. So,
but that's an inspirational
thing. But then maybe I'm not so prone to the things you're talking about, Joe. But
maybe I just don't need that as an inspiration, and in fact I'm probably one of the people who that just makes me feel like, well, all my efforts and I'm never going to look like that. So I tend to be
because you're hot just as you are.
Well, quite. But I tend to self-motivate. I just know how I feel if I haven't exercised, and so that's what I want.
And you do make a good point, I think. The people, when you take those pictures, you just keep them on your phone. If it's for you to track your progress, you don't need to. But then I guess some people would then argue, well, putting it out there again means that, you know, that they'll keep them on track, I guess, it's public.
And then also there's the good point that you made about it being inspirational to maybe to other people, that if they see that. I mean, I'm not one to kind of just take a picture and be all like, you can't see what I'm doing because this is a podcast. I'm posing around trying to look like
I'm a teapot thing. I was inspired.
I'm a ripped teapot.
I'm just looking for the light, guys.
Good luck in here. The light in here is terrible.
But I think that if you're using it as a positive measure for other people, then that's one thing. But I think if it comes from a place of ego, then it's tough.
Ultimately, I think I'm just too British. British people just don't selfie in my head. We're far too British to do such things.
I've done two gym selfies, like little boomerangs. I can't take myself seriously. And there was one because my trainer was making me do a move that I can only describe as making it look like I was having sex with a bench. And I just thought, this is ridiculous. So I had to share. So that's the kind of thing I share.
See, you're very British, even though you're Australian, Joe. But that's the thing, you do it through comedy. And I think that, again, gets you, that's your get a jail free card. If you have an element of like taking the piss out of yourself, I think you can get away with it. But on the whole, I think it's a bit of a dicey one, I think.
Yeah, unless you're actually a trainer.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, I think, I don't know. I'm probably going to get complaints.
We all will.
I don't know. I'm just,
sometimes I see,
live and let live.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So whatever works for you. I think what you said about the fitness apps, I guess you have to be not careful but obsessing about them too much, and keep a healthy sort of distance and, you know, relationship with it, I think.
And I think I've seen a few girls, not to mention any names at all, of course, that actually have posted lots of pictures of them in the gym, and I just think, God, you look so thin. Please eat something. Get out the gym and get a burger down here.
I don't want that inspiring people, you know?
No.
Yeah.
Thin line.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Is it okay to not bother with something that you've discovered you're just a bit crap at?
To be a quitter, basically.
Yeah, thanks. Is that, it okay to be a quitter?
I feel like I inspired this topic because I will hand in the air say I am that person. And I think I was surprised because I, for the very first time, went on a skiing holiday. And I was so prepared to go up and be crap. I had the lesson, and but you know, I was prepared to be that person falling over, Bambi on ice.
What, with your buns of steel?
Why, thanks for noticing, Daisy. But yeah, so I was so meant to be prepared for it. I thought I was going to be rubbish and I was going to storm off and just basically do après ski for the rest of the week. Suddenly, I was actually all right at it, enjoyed it, and really basically did it the rest of the week and loved it.
And but now I'm in the Olympics. Lovely.
I made it eagle.
And I'm doing the jump.
But it did make me suddenly realise, oh my God, you actually are that. I have that quitter mentality. Basically, if I don't get good at something straight away, I will just throw the towel in.
I think skiing's terrible, and I've never done it. I just know that it's...
Well, I think a lot of people think they're going to be awful at it, but it did make me think, you know, even as a kid, like when my parents, bless them, they pretty much indulged every fantasy I had about learning instruments to play, and they bought them all for me, and I'd have like one lesson thinking, oh, this is it, I'm going to be Mozart. And then, oh, I had to practice, and it took ages, and then I just ditched it all in. So I just think I'm not really mentally programmed to be a person that really, unless it comes naturally to me, to an acquire a skill. And I think this is a good one for you, Daisy, because obviously the dancing thing with you on Strictly seems to come very naturally, but
it did not come naturally. I had a very good teacher.
Very handsome, good teacher. Let's not go back to Ali Ash.
No, but that's the thing, you know. Yeah, I can't wait to get to dance practice today.
It is the most frustrating thing I've ever put myself through, because actually what I worked out from being part of Strictly is that I'm really bad at being crap at something. I get really frustrated. The amount of grunts I made in that studio, I'm like, and actually what I worked out is that it's not about how many times you fail, it's how many times you pick yourself up. And actually, because I had no choice but to go through, because we were performing for over 10 million people every Saturday night, you just have to carry on and try and get it. But actually, I was quite surprised at how much I wanted to totally. And but actually there is something so satisfying about getting to that brink of, oh, I just want to give up, and then cracking it.
But how long did that take?
Well, it depended on week to week, because also you think that you finally got the hang of something, and then, you know, because you finally get the hang of a ballroom dance, and then you get thrown a Latin, and then you go, oh no, okay, I've done this, and now you're doing a Charleston. And the Charleston, I thought, was the hardest. You know, your fitness levels are insane, it's such high octane constantly. And I thought, right, I'm really fit now, next week's going to be a doddle. And then we ended up doing the Paso, and it took it out of me in a completely different way. And actually, because you only really get, you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you only really have those 4 days to learn a routine and polish it, because Friday you're in the studio and Saturday you're doing it. But you also have to do lots of VTs, and you're doing it takes two, so it takes you out of it. So usually we'd call it Tits Up Tuesday. Tits Up Tuesday was always a nightmare because you're always making director's tapes, and you think that the world is going to swallow, you wish that the world would swallow you whole, and you think it's going to end, and that would always be the toughest. And then you kind of reach a point where you go, oh, actually I can do this on Wednesday, and by Thursday you're like, okay, I have to do this. Yeah.
Well, you break through, I guess. There's a reason for persevering, because you will get through it. But what about you, Jo? How do you stand on the whole?
I mean, I've been trying to... I'm crap at so many things.
Oh, as if.
How long have you got? But no, I exactly the same as you. Mm. I did tap dancing for 3 weeks, piano for 6 weeks, you know, saxophone, I couldn't even get any semblance sound of a out? Proper noise out of it, you know. I did play the recorder reasonably well, but and so it's very, very difficult for me when I see the same in my daughter, and I think it comes from a weird, actually not from a laziness but from a perfectionism, like, yeah, if I can't do it well, I'm too embarrassed to keep at it and be seen sucking at it for weeks. And I'm finding that an absolute strain to try and encourage her, because when I look back at my own childhood, I was exactly the same, and so now I can't play the piano when I wish I could.
Do you find now then, Daisy, that now you've done the Strictly thing, do you think it'll actually change your attitude towards other things when you take up other sort of hobbies or skills and interests that you're persevere?
I would like to think so. I mean, since coming back off of the tour, once a week, me and wonderful Louise Redknapp have been.
We love Louise.
Oh, I love Louise so much. I think she's the greatest person.
She's coming in to do this. Soon.
Is she? Yeah. She's the best. We decided that we wanted to carry on doing dance lessons with some of the professionals from the show, and this wonderful dancer who we did the tour with called Jake, and he does these dance classes with us, and we kind of stand there going, "Who the hell do we think we are? We're dancing with all these professional dancers." I'm always the dunce of the class.
Daisy Lowe, can I just interrupt you there? Does he happen to be wildly sexy?
Jake is very sexy. Yeah. I can show you some videos of him.
Yeah. That would be fine by me.
Motivating, again, you see.
Totally. But he kind of, so we end up doing all, and actually it is really hard to, because I am the least talented dancer of all the people there.
That has been confirmed.
And it is really hard, actually, every week going back and going, okay, I'm just going to do this again, knowing that I'm not that good. I'm just going to go and try and smash it, because it becomes a personal goal as well.
I need to channel that. You're good for me, I think, today.
This is really inspiring.
Yeah, I need to stop being a filthy old quitter and actually persevering.
Should we go back to that strutting class?
Oh my God, no, don't take me back there.
And now, as they used to say on Monty Python, now for something completely different. This is going to be really interesting, because this comes from a feature that we have in the April issue. Yes, April issue of Glamour, about polyamorous relationships. There was a guy who we interviewed. He lives with his boyfriend and his boyfriend's wife. Wow. Yeah. And they all sort of have sort of like very floating relationships, and she's got a girlfriend, and the guys both see other people. And this has sparked, as you can imagine, furious conversation on all our social media channels.
A Daily Mail level of vitriol in the comment section of our Facebook page.
Which is kind of exciting as an editor when you get a reaction like that. But it's, you know, is it okay to have a polyamorous... I can't even say it, let alone do it. A polyamorous relationship.
I think it's okay to have I think it's okay to have a polyamorous relationship, but I think it's so personal, isn't it? It's a case of whatever floats your boat, really. I don't know.
It's, you know, I don't want to be accused of being, you know, prejudiced in any way. I'm not going to say it's weird, but it's unusual, isn't it?
Well, it's unconventional.
But I think personally, I'd be too possessive to share. I think once I would be in something, I'd want to be in it.
What this guy says, which I found really interesting, is that he used to be possessive, but he used to have trust issues. But now he's in this thing where openly everybody gets to sleep with whoever they want to. That whole feeling of like, oh my God, they're doing something behind my back is gone. And so he's completely at peace
with it. I have to say, I mean, I found it really interesting, because obviously the initial comments are, I think a lot of the comments came from people who hadn't even read the article. So they had no actual context, or they'd not really delved into it in any depth. But I think the natural reaction is to go, greedy people, they have open relationships, they're having orgies, sex with everyone, blah, blah, blah. And it's such a sort of base way to look at it, I think. Because what I think is really fascinating about this is that I think it's actually a very healthy way to live your life. Because if you look at it, everyone in that situation, it's full disclosure. Mm-hmm. There's no deceit. No one's doing anything behind anyone's back.
Everyone acts on their urges instead of
squashing
them, I guess.
The people who are getting on their high horse about these kind of relationships are people... Are you telling me these are people who have never got drunk and snogged somebody or had an affair or, you know, had a sort of dovetailing of one relationship into the next, you know? Mm. I always find people that get so morally aggressive,
usually quite scared,
are usually the people who are basically quite corrupt in themselves.
Maybe,
and I
you're
just
right.
Think, yeah,
well, maybe they're just like me, thinking, well, how the hell would I get through all my stories on Netflix with another man in the house to satisfy?
My argument is I can't find one person, let alone multiple ones. Yeah, so I want to get some actual practical tips from these people. But I'm also of the mindset of, do you know what? What does it matter? Why are you taking time out of your day to get so upset by somebody else? They're not doing you any harm.
As far as the polyamorous relationship is concerned, I mean, it just sounds like there's a lot of love going on, which is never a bad thing.
No.
And I think, actually, a friend of mine said once was in a three-way relationship with a man and a woman, and he said actually that it was the most successful relationship he's ever had, that there was no fighting, just a lot of compassion and support, and that there was no jealousy. It just existed.
I just find it really hard to believe. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I don't doubt that, in the all power, I'm not up wanting jealousy and deceit and possessiveness and all that. I cannot get my head around that you would never, like, you know, in the story, the woman sort of like goes into them in bed and says, would it be all right if I slept with my husband tonight? There must be times when the answer's no, when she's resentful. Mm. There must be. It's interesting, isn't it?
I guess if that's what you've known and always known, guess, you know, it depends where you've started from. I think what's fascinating and what would be interesting, I think, is if you were a couple and suddenly went, do you have that conversation about, I want to be a throuple, I want to throw in other opportunities for myself and for you. I think that's one hell of a question and a conversation. I mean, I think it's about anything that shifts the goalpost, obviously, is going to be massively unsettling. But I think I still maintain, if you can be that honest to that degree, then you're not going to lie about anything else, are you?
Sure.
Really?
That's true. And as long as it makes you feel good. I think if I was in that position, it would make me go the other way. I think I wasn't enough.
I think what you've hit the nail on the head there, Daisy. I think you're either that kind of person or you're not. You're right, because you know yourself. You know what your boundaries are. You know what your reactions to certain situations would be like. And if you are an insecure or in any way just somebody who likes one-on-one, it's not for you, obviously.
Sure.
But I think, you know, there are people who are a lot more relaxed. And I, like you, Daisy, I do have friends that have a much more open, relaxed situation with their partners. And I would maintain they have some of the healthiest relationships I've ever seen. Far healthier than some of the couples I know who are allegedly exclusive.
A lot more honest.
Allegedly
exclusive.
There were air quotes in that.
I want to go back to something you said before about people sort of like really getting on their moral high horse and really getting angry about things that don't particularly affect them. It's like, you know, you think about this situation or gay marriage and things like that. Why do you think people get so wound up about something that ultimately
has nothing to do
with
them?
It's not, you know,
it's none of their business.
My gay friend getting married has no bearing at all on your straight religious marriage.
That I would say is not okay.
Yeah, it's not okay, but
I don't understand it.
Personally, I think I barely have enough time in my day to worry about what's going on with me. And believe you me, I spend a lot of my time worrying about what's happening with me. So, you know, my worrying about me schedule is far too sort of, you know, so for me to bother to get that het up and to waste energy about other people's business, I just don't get it.
But I think that that's the point, is that I think that those people are really bored and really angry about
life,
things in their own life that then they project all of that rubbish into other things, because actually that's almost their form of escapism, is not looking at their own stuff.
But I mean, you know, everyone knows when it comes to reading a story for the fourth time on proof, I'm like, oh God, I can't read it. I have willingly read that polyamorous story about 15 times now. It's just so other. Mm. It's just so foreign to me. And he sets out quite a compelling case for his lifestyle.
I would argue
fascinating.
At least read it before writing comments about it, people.
Out now, folks.
Did it actually make you... Did it make you...
want to have a polyamorous...
Yeah, a little bit, did it? No. Yeah.
Not in the slightest.
Come on, Joe. Now's the time to tell Ross. It's happening, Ross. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah. Bombshell was dropped on the podcast today.
But did it actually inspire any, not that you would ever want it, but was there any part of you that, you know, he's setting up a very good case, and ultimately that
because I just, like you said, I just know that I'm not
that kind of person.
Yeah. Each I just their found own. It really interesting.
I think ultimately, you know, just do you. You do you. Yeah. Worry about what's going on with you and let other people figure out what works for them.
I mean, come on, you know, I'm putting the toilet seat down. I'm cleaning up dog poo.
Everyone's laundry.
Yeah, it's like I don't need another person to deal with.
Jo also has a very demanding Netflix habit. She hasn't got time for another person in her life.
Okay, well, I think we've solved all the problems with the world. Thank you so much to my special guest today, James Williams.
Thank you very much.
And Miss Daisy Lowe.
Thank you for having me.
Come back soon. We love you and we love Monty.
Oh, we love you guys too.
If you're enjoying Glamour Hates Okay, please do subscribe on iTunes. It costs you nothing, and then you've never got to live through the horror of missing an episode of your favourite podcast. And we'd love to hear from you. If you've got any suggestions for topics, or you just want to, you know, come along and say hi, do email me, editor@glamourmagazine.co.uk. See you next time.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.